The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Horrible news. Horrible for Joe Biden in our new CNN poll. While the president leads his Democratic competitors by a huge margin, two-thirds of all of the American people surveyed, 66% of the public, say that a Biden victory would either be a setback or a disaster for the United States. And David, when it comes to how voters see Joe Biden and another presidential term, I mean, that those are some bad numbers.
Well, I mean, just your basic favorability, favorable opinion or unfavorable opinion of Joe Biden. Look at how Americans are rating him, Jake. I mean, 35% favorable. That is remarkably low. 57% have an unfavorable rating.
I've visited red states and blue states, and I found that the common values that unite us are deeper than our divisions. And I thought you might clap for that.
There's Dr. Jill with her Jeb Bush moment, stirring up the applause in an audience that really didn't seem that interested in what she had to say. Of course, you hear Jake Tapper talking about two-thirds of America say that another Biden term would be a disaster. These are, as he said, I'm quoting Jake Tapper, this is horrible news for the fake president. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining us on today's show, the last show of the week. Hard to believe Friday is already upon us. Of course, we're on the road again. We're in a place called Gaithersburg, I believe, Gaithersburg, Maryland. It's just a little ways outside of Washington, D.C. We're on our way, actually, to Toronto, Canada for the weekend. But last night we were able to stop off and see yet another performance of Celtic Throne. And we have quite a lot to get to on that front on today's show. It's a little bit of a lighter TD, and we actually have to check out of our hotel here right at the end of today's program. So we've got quite a few video packages lined up for you, including the special feature so that we can pack up and go. Is a montage of Donald Trump going back to his early years, back in the 1980s, as he was starting to voice more of his political views in interviews and such. We spoke earlier this week about some of the more formative developments in a young Barack Obama. This doesn't necessarily go back to Donald Trump's childhood years by any means, but it's when he was early on in his successful career as a real estate mogul. So we'll reserve that for the last segment of today's show. That'll be about 15 minutes. And before that, we've got the current news set up for today, the segment that we usually have on Fridays. We've also got, as a backup, we've got In the Work or News of the Work, that segment, which we might wait until next week. But then also there's a special montage of the Celtic Throne cast and crew as they took to the streets right in the heart of the swamp, the D.C. swamp, as they were doing some street dancing out in front of the Lincoln Memorial. And also at a restaurant later that evening. That was on Wednesday. And then last night, they had their performance at George Washington University, as I said the other day, just a little ways down the road from the White House. So we've also got some audience feedback to last night's performance. So as I say, lots to get to on today's show, and quite a bit of it will be fun and a little bit lighter than sometimes we are on the Trumpet Daily. But first, in all seriousness, this is from the New York Post, just coming back to these unfavorable ratings that Biden and his family are getting. And of course, there's the House investigation that's being ramped up by Jim Comer. It says here, House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer says an informant file that he's seeking from the FBI links President Biden to a $5 million bribery scheme while he was vice president. And so you know about this from a couple of weeks ago, this whistleblower that came forward and said, hey, the document's right there in the FBI that shows the bribery scheme. I mean, the FBI is sitting on it. And Christopher Wray, you know, you can't reveal sources or methods. And so he says, we can't give you that document, but we really do appreciate your oversight. So Comer comes and now gives more details. He knows what's in the document. He knows the details of it. And still, Chris Wray is sitting on it. Chris Wray is obstructing justice. That's what it amounts to. This New York Post piece, it says here, Comer revealed the size of the alleged bribe for the first time Wednesday in a letter to FBI Director Wray, threatening him with contempt proceedings if he doesn't share the file pursuant to a May 3 subpoena. So he's going to hold Wray in contempt of Congress. The stakes are increasing. It says the informant tip is dated June 30th. 2020, Comer wrote, an additional clue in the mysterious allegation that triggered a guessing game due to the Biden family's extensive consulting work. That's a nice way of saying that they were selling influence, pay to play. They've got all of that that was going on during the vice president years of Joe Biden. And then this document pertains to Joe Biden of 2020 when he was running for president. It says here, in a remarkable coincidence, Ukrainian officials held a press conference in Kiev on June 13th, 2020, 17 days before the FBI tip-off. So you've got the FBI document. That's, I think, June 30th, 2020. That's the one that Comer wants. And then if you go back, it's a Reuters story. I'll quote it to you here in just a second. But if you go back and look at this story coming out from Ukraine, They have these oligarchs that are, or I guess these investigators that are basically saying there was a $5 million bribe for us to, you know, call off the pack of wolves that was going after Burisma. And again, we don't know all the details here or how it's all connected, but like the Post brings out, it's a remarkable coincidence, isn't it? You've got this June 13, 2020 press conference in Kiev. This is from Reuters back at that time, June 13th. It says, Ukrainian officials on Saturday said they were offered $5 million in bribes to end a probe into energy company Burisma's founder, but said there was no connection to former board member Hunter Biden, whose father is running for the U.S. presidency. As I say, this was from 2020. This was during peak COVID. This was just a few months before the election steal. So you've got the Biden crime family. They're engaged in this tens of millions of dollars in pay to play. Comer's already uncovered much of that. Something like 20 LLCs that are wiring money into the family members of Joe Biden, into their accounts, direct into their bank accounts, including nieces, nephews, and grandchildren. It's unbelievable the level of corruption here. Reuters says the money was the largest cash bribe ever seized in this country, Nabu said. It was put on display during a press briefing brought by masked men in see-through plastic bags. So Comer said, I don't know if it's related to this story from around that same time, but Comer says, look, we got to get that FBI document. I mean, this is really damning evidence of corruption at the highest level of the land. Listen to Maria. This is not so much about that document in 2020, but she's just talking about the pay-to-play scheme. This is what Maria Bartiromo said on her show the other day, clip four.
About 20 LLCs, according to James Comer, and Comer has already identified at least $10 million that was sent to Biden family members. That's just, you know, $10 million for a handful of deals. We don't know how much money they've actually taken in.
And what were they giving in return?
There's no business, yeah. Mark, okay? Yeah. We're looking for what specifically you were doing to be getting paid, but these are the most severe allegations ever leveled at a president ever, and the mainstream media will not cover it. Yeah.
the most severe allegations leveled at a president ever, and it's not even covered. It's just completely covered up. The New York Post story, this is again where Comer is going after this document and now providing Chris Wray with the details of the document, the essence of it. It says, as vice president, the elder Biden also used U.S. aid as leverage to pressure Ukraine to fire a prosecutor who had investigated Burisma, though House Democrats who impeached President Trump in 2019 for probing Ukraine, pushing Ukraine to investigate the Bidens, presented evidence at Trump's trial that U.S. allies also advocated for the prosecutor's ouster due to his own corruption. It says here, Hunter Biden earned up to $1 million per year while on Burisma's board, despite no relevant industry experience. So you see how it works? There's the bribery scheme. There's Biden using leverage as vice president to get the prosecutor fired, to get him off of Burisma's tail. We know that happened because Biden bragged about it. And then there's Hunter pulling in $1 million per year from Burisma. And amid all of this corruption, who's the one who's punished? Well, Donald Trump for a phone call. They go after Donald Trump because of a phone call that he made to Zelensky, a perfect one at that. It says here, your response to the subpoena, this is Ray, or rather Comer writing to Ray, your response to the subpoena is due May 30th. So that's just in a few days, I guess, next Tuesday. If the FD-1023 form is not produced by that date, the committee will initiate contempt of Congress proceedings. And this is interesting. It says a congressional contempt vote typically is used to shame the subject, but it can also carry criminal penalties. It uses the example of Eric Holder back during, I think it was the first or second term of Obama, who was held in contempt. But of course, his own DOJ didn't go after the boss. The DOJ, Eric Holder's DOJ, that would be Obama's DOJ, certainly didn't go after Holder for any criminal activity. The final bit from this article says here, the FBI's mission is to protect the American people, the Bureau told the Post in a statement on Thursday. This is the FBI's response to Comer's subpoena for this document. They said the FBI's mission is to protect the American people. Releasing confidential source information could potentially jeopardize investigations and put lives at risk. They always hide behind this, don't they? Well, it would be risky. It would endanger the lives of people if we turned over these documents, if the House had any kind of oversight. So they just ignore it. Says the FBI remains committed to cooperating with Congress's oversight requests on this matter and others, as we always have. So basically, they just thumb their nose at Comer. We'll see what happens come Tuesday when there's yet another deadline. Speaking of the FBI and its behavior, I guess this isn't necessarily the FBI and how it approached that U-Haul truck that the Indian, that's also a white supremacist, drove into the fence. You know, he slowly merged into the fence there surrounding the White House. But what's interesting here is that the authorities, law enforcement, has basically dropped all the charges. Just a little, there's just one charge left for damage to government property. Outside of that, I mean, you remember how CNN reported this. I think we had it on, what, Tuesday's show? CNN reports that, hey, there's a white supremacist. He's got the Nazi flag outside the truck. He was trying to kill the president or the vice president or the families of the president or vice president. This is amazing here from the Post as well. It says here, the alleged neo-Nazi man accused of ramming a rented U-Haul truck into the White House security barriers will be held in federal jail pending a detention hearing next week, according to reports. He had allegedly planned the attack for 6 months. For 6 months, it says here, with the goal of being to get to the White House, seize power, and to be put in charge of the nation. I mean, it's preposterous, this guy's plan, but he's admitted this. That's what's amazing about it. He's admitted that he was trying to kill the president, and he rammed the U-Haul into the fence. And then the investigators come along They just, instead of calling in the bomb squad, who knows what could have been in the inside the U-Haul, they just open it right up. They see the flag. They spread it out for this perfect photo op because it's white supremacy. And then just a couple days later, the law enforcement just drops all the charges. Sundance makes a pretty good point at Conservative Treehouse about how some people are still in jail because they just happened to walk their way through Congress on January 6, 2021. This guy, he says, I'm coming at, it's kind of like a Ray Epps thing. He says, I'm coming after the president to kidnap him, to take over the country. And the government says, you know what, let's just kind of brush this aside and move on. I mean, after all, he's Indian, I guess. He's not even a U.S. citizen. So here they just let this guy go on nothing, basically. And okay, well, we'll play along with the way you reported it the other day. You rammed a U-Haul into the White House, and this is it? His federal charges have since been downgraded to a single count of depredation of property of the United States. That's it. Prosecutors told the court, Candela is not a U.S. citizen, according to Fox News. So there you go. Who knows what's happening inside of these law enforcement agencies? Again, just coming back to the statement from the FBI. The FBI's mission is to protect the American people. That's how they responded to Comer's request. That's how they responded to the New York Post that wanted a response from the Bureau. So what do you have to say for yourself? Hey, we're here to protect the American people. Notice this story from the Wall Street Journal. It says here, the Durham report recently revealed how the FBI opened its Trump-Russia investigation in 2016 without any actual evidence of collusion. Now, a newly unsealed court document reveals that the Bureau conducted thousands of improper searches on American citizens under Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. It shows how that they were abusing the FISA process. And of course, the judges are in on it too. Those that just hit the rubber stamp. I mean, so many of these, there's so many, 278,000 cases where they used the FISA courts to just do their thing, to spy on Americans. They're there to protect the American people, says Ray. Are they? The Wall Street Journal says the numbers are astounding. The document issued by the secret FISA court says the FBI improperly conducted 278,000 warrantless searches on U.S. citizens. 278,000. Improper conduct, to put it nicely. Here, their response when they're exposed for their corruption. Oh, well, hey, we've made some reforms. It's everything's taken care of. It's all been corrected. Don't worry about it. It says here, Rudolph Contreras, then the presiding judge of the FISA court, issued his ruling in April 2022, but it was only made public Friday. It deals with the Section 702 powers that are used to spy on the electronic communication of foreign nationals overseas, but can incidentally include communications with Americans. So they use the foreign nationals as cover as they go about spying on their political opposition here at home. Some terrifying stuff here happening in the United States of America. I mean, you look at, even as we drove around Washington, D.C. yesterday afternoon, and you see all of the, it still is a beautiful city. And in some areas, it's pretty quiet when you've got all this government activity going on. There's a nice facade out front. It looks very official. A lot of people in suits and skirts and high-powered individuals traversing the city on foot in some cases, going from one government building to the next. And yet look at the corruption that goes on behind closed doors. Look at what the elites are doing to just ordinary American citizens. 278,000 warrantless searches on U.S. citizens. The people that Chris Ray says he's here to protect. He's spying on them. tens of thousands of them. It says the searches must reasonably be aimed at gathering foreign intelligence or evidence of a crime. The sheer volume of improper searches confirms the judge's observation that the Bureau's compliance problems have proven persistent and widespread. It says, for example, more than 19,000 donors to a failed but unnamed congressional campaign were searched without sufficient cause. Donors to a congressional campaign? You mean they were spied on? 19,000? Really? For what? Some kind of corruption, to be sure. Yesterday on the program, I talked about just the sickness in Israel today. Maybe I can just give you a few verses that I was unable to finish with yesterday. But this is Ezekiel 8 and verse 17. We went through Ezekiel 8 and I think Ezekiel 24 as well. But notice verse 17 of Ezekiel 8. It says, Then he said unto me, have you seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put the branch to their nose. I mean, basically, my father writes in the Ezekiel booklet how they're basically shoving the branch right in God's face. They're just declaring their sin as Sodom, proud of these sins. I'll just read the quote then, the Ezekiel booklet. It says, provoke me to anger, really should read, provoked to be bitter or rebel against. And the older texts correct the last phrase to read God's nose, you know, just shoving that branch right in God's nose. Well, God is going to expose our nations and all of this filth, as I was saying on yesterday's show. God will not be mocked, and he will bring that corrective rod, that rod of correction, to help us see what it is we've done to ourselves. In the Ezekiel booklet, it says, if you think God doesn't have an opinion about what is happening in Israel, listen to these words. I don't know how anyone who claims to follow God can read these words and not be afraid. He's talking about a despicable people and explaining why the tribulation and the day of the Lord. God cannot lie. He prophesied this and he will fulfill it. No one will stop him. All Israel will crumble before him when these prophecies are fulfilled. See, God allows for it to happen the way that it does. He prophesies of this end. He's warning us. He carries out this correction to turn our hearts back to him, to help us to see ourselves and to see God. And that's, of course, the hope in so many of these dire prophecies, where finally, when at the very bottom, after hitting rock bottom, you'll begin to see a change, a positive change in the heart of man. When we come back, as I say, we've got quite a lot of video packages to show you. So make sure that you stay tuned for all of it. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you want to give the show some feedback, we'd love to hear from you. TD@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
One may blind his eyes to existing facts and trends and say the world cannot get any worse than it already is. Or, if we just ignore the conditions and don't worry, perhaps they'll go away. But these conditions and trends won't just go away. Not unless they are caused to go away. The scriptures of the Holy Bible, the inspired revelation of the Supreme God, have foretold today's world conditions and trends, and give us the advance news of coming peace on earth, of universal prosperity, of happiness and joy, of veritable utopia. This is the good news of the world tomorrow, and it is absolutely sure. This coming world is vividly described in our booklet, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. Bible prophecy explains in detail how God will intervene to save mankind from destroying himself. Jesus Christ will return to earth, putting an end to the rule of man and restore God's government on earth. To learn much more about this prophesied utopia, please visit thetrumpet.com. Trumpet Daily.
More than half of mainland Chinese support a full-scale war to take control of Taiwan, according to a recent survey published in the Journal of Contemporary China. A majority of those polled also support using economic sanctions against the island nation. China has recently ramped up military pressure against Taiwan, which it sees as a breakaway province that must be united with the mainland. Recent U.S.-Taiwan political visits have prompted threatening Chinese military drills, including one that simulated a full-scale attack on Taiwan. The trumpet has been predicting for years that China will eventually force Taiwan into submission. The article Taiwan Betrayal explains more about this subject. Chinese General Secretary Xi Jinping met with Russian Prime Minister Mikhail Mishustin in Beijing this week. Mishustin said that pressure from the West is strengthening Russia's ties with China. Relations between the two countries are at an unprecedented high level, influenced by Western sanctions. Xi said that China will continue to offer firm mutual support to Russia on matters of core interests. The strengthening of relations between Russia and China is not surprising to those familiar with Bible prophecy. Revelation 16:12 speaks of a multinational Asian alliance referred to as the Kings of the East. Our free booklet, Russia and China in Prophecy, explains that Russia, supported by China, will lead this alliance and challenge U.S. dominance. On May 11th, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said that Ukraine's spring counteroffensive has been delayed due to a lack of Western weapons. Since the beginning of the war, Western allies have sent Ukraine over $70 billion worth of military aid. The United States alone pledged over $46 billion within the first year, and just in the last 5 months, it promised to send $14 billion of weapons and ammunition. Some of the aid has not arrived yet. Though America and other allies are channeling billions into this war, the situation remains dire. Trumpet editor-in-chief Gerald Flurry wrote in the May-June 2023 issue, "Bible prophecy shows that America will not be the decisive factor in this war, but its actions could end up hastening the fulfillment of other Bible prophecies." To learn more about the real importance of the war in Ukraine, read Mr. Flurry's article, "The Ukraine War Will Not Start World War III." To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
There's your latest installment of the current news, the news of this past week. Now we'll transition into the news of the work, or specifically the news of the Celtic Throne Tour. This next montage, it captures a lot of the activity on Wednesday when, and you'll see even in the middle, there's a couple of police officers asking Brad McDonald if we had gotten approval, because we had such a sweet spot to dance in front of the Lincoln Memorial. So that was taken care of. We assured the police officers that everything was approved. And so there's some footage of the dancing that happened there in front of the memorial. And then later on that night at a restaurant in D.C. And then after that, I think the crew stormed the Capitol. I don't know if that's on video, though, but we'll see. Here's your montage, clip 7.
Thank you.
following that that activity, went right through the day out in the summer sun as well. We had some tired dancers yesterday morning, the morning of the show, but you'd never know it. It didn't take away from last night's performance at all at George Washington University. They performed in front of about 300 people. It's probably going to be one of our smaller audience sizes for the summer because we got the venue so late in the game. In any event, there were a lot of excited and enthusiastic people in the audience, as you'll see here in this this next segment, the audience feedback from the performance last night, number 8.
I think it's incredible. Very talented dancers.
I'm like so impressed. I'm a dancer myself, and I just like can't imagine the dedication that took and all that. It was amazing. Amazing. It's so cool.
Yeah, I want to play it on replay.
Obviously well-trained and well-managed. The whole program's well-managed. When I went to a Bible college back in the 50s, you know, I remember World of Tomorrow and Herbert Armstrong.
It was amazing. I really enjoyed it. I met yesterday the short show, and so that's from where I understood about this tour, and I really enjoyed it. Great. Thank you so much.
We loved it so much. She was so excited to come. She just started dancing, and she's going to nationals, and Jude used to dance with her dance teachers, so she was so excited, but they're so talented, all the dancers, all the musicians. What was your favorite part, Kiva?
The part where they were in Scotland.
She loved the Scotland part, but we loved the London part too, with the war zone. That was really cool. Yeah, it was awesome. We were really surprised, and we really enjoyed it.
Awesome, man. It's a great show, as always. Good to be out on the road.
Thoroughly enjoyed it. Third time.
Third time.
Yeah. Very nice.
It was great. Yeah, especially for the kids. They loved it. So they're going to dance someday, too.
What did you think?
Good.
What did you think of the show?
Real good.
Love it. Sensational.
I think it was amazing.
We loved it. It was awesome. Their talent was unbelievable. The whole show was fabulous. And we loved the tribute to America. That was really awesome.
I loved the patriotism. I loved how it just was about America and God, and it was awesome.
Oh, we thought it was excellent. Everybody did a wonderful job. All of the performers, dancers, everyone.
Oh, I thought the show was excellent. I really liked the dancing, and I liked the high energy of Irish dancing. And also enjoy the solos and the violin solos. So for me, it's really enjoyable.
Yes, it was electrifying, really. I like that pulsating as the dancers are thumping, you know. That's what I came here for. And the costumes, everything was beautiful about it. I really enjoyed it, and I'm glad I came.
Wonderful, absolutely wonderful. I love the whole thing. I enjoy some of this, like the a cappella pieces, because I know how hard that is to do, as well as the huge sets with everybody.
I'm a venue manager, and I have to say Celtic Throne was one of the best shows I've seen. It had amazing lighting, sound, and phenomenal dance. The performers left it all out there. It was amazing to see, and I encourage everybody to go see it.
That last comment there comes from one of the managers of the facility. Some of the best feedback that we get comes from people that work at theaters, because they see shows coming and going all the time. And quite a few of them have said how Celtic Throne is right up at the very top as far as the overall quality and just the enjoyment of the production. I want to just get through one article quickly before we leave you with the Donald Trump, the early years, the Donald Trump montage. This is from the Washington Post yesterday. It says two of Donald Trump's employees moved boxes of paper. And just think about this in comparison to what the Biden crime family is getting away with. They moved boxes of papers the day before an early June visit by FBI agents and a prosecutor to the former president's Florida home to retrieve classified documents in response to a subpoena. Timing that investigators have come to view as suspicious and an indication of possible obstruction. Never mind what Chris Wray does with that document. Never mind the oversight that the House has over the FBI, or never mind what Hunter made from Burisma, or the bribe to call off investigations. It's this. It's this. Moving around boxes, if you can believe it. That's what they're going after Trump for. It says here, Trump and his aides also allegedly carried out a dress rehearsal for moving sensitive papers even before his office received the May 2022 subpoena. Finally, it says here, prosecutors, in addition, have gathered evidence indicating that Trump at times kept classified documents in his office in a place where they were visible and sometimes showed them to others, these people said. Can you believe this kind of harassment? It's nonstop. It's never ending. Joe Biden has classified documents all over the country. They're spread out. They were in plain view behind the Corvette. Everybody saw a picture of it. But it's this. It's Trump. They moved a few boxes, so they got to get Trump. That's what it always gets back to. Get Trump. Well, speaking of Trump, enjoy this closing montage. This is Trump, mostly from the 1980s, a series of interviews that Sam put together a while back. And because we've got to zoom out of here and off to the airport, it gives us a chance to leave a few minutes early. So we appreciate you joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again next time.
Donald Trump, the multimillionaire real estate developer, is sounding more like a politician these days than America's most grandiose and controversial builder. When he disagrees with a matter of policy, he does it in a big way. Today, he sunk $95,000 into a full-page newspaper ad appearing in many papers criticizing the administration's foreign policy. Rumblings in the Trump camp point as far as the presidency. Could the Manhattan magnate be eyeing the White House, or is he just calling a bluff? Are you a Republican, Donald?
I'm a Republican, yes.
So if there were politics, it would be as a Republican?
It would be, I guess, as a Republican, but I don't see that there will be politics. Well, it was very easy. I was tired, and I think a lot of people are tired of watching other countries ripping off the United States. This is a great country. They laugh at us. Behind our backs, they laugh at us because of our own stupidity. And the it's just preposterous. I watched the Kuwaiti oil minister the other day laughing as he was explaining how much money they intend to make with the Bridgeton, which has been a total disaster, the Bridgeton. And I said to myself, isn't that a shame? He's talking about how much money they're going to make, and here we are. He's smiling and laughing. Why don't we get some of it? Why is it that we're protecting? We have frogmen, we have helicopters, we have aircraft carriers, and all sorts of ships all over the Persian Gulf, so that this man and his little group can make a lot of money. I think it's ridiculous. Larry, the country is losing $200 billion a year. $200 billion. This country cannot continue to lose $200 billion. Japan is one of the wealthiest machines ever created. Saudi Arabia, and it's not, hey, let me tell you, I'm a big beneficiary of Japan. They buy my apartments in spades. They're fine people. But they must be, they're laughing to themselves as to what's happening over here. We're not kidding ourselves. They're laughing to themselves, Larry, as to what's happening with this country.
But, Donald, a lot of people feel the way you feel, and a lot of people maybe with as much money, or certainly some people with as much money feel the way you feel. Why did you go public?
Because somebody had to, Larry.
Are we going to be hearing more from Mr. Trump on issues like this as we go along?
I really don't know, Larry. This is an issue that's been bothering me. It's been bothering a lot of people that I know, and I think it's an issue that had to be brought out to the fore. The concept of America financing and paying and losing lives for countries that won't even allow us to use their ships, and these are the countries that in 24 hours they'd be wiped off the face of the earth if it weren't for America, it's ridiculous.
Is it true that you're going to go to New Hampshire in October at the invitation of Mike Dunbar, who's heading a group called Draft Donald Trump?
Well, I was asked about 3 or 4 weeks ago whether or not, by a very good friend of mine, whether or not I'd go to New Hampshire. That's turned out to be now a much bigger deal than I had ever anticipated. And perhaps, I don't know, I am going. I made the commitment to go. I made the commitment about 3 weeks ago. And I will go, yes.
You will go. Even though you realize now, in just setting foot in that state, people are going to presume things.
Well, they can presume whatever they want. I have no intention of running for president, but I'd like the point to get across that we have a great country, but it's not going to be great for long if we're going to continue to lose $200 billion a year. You're going to get into the early 90s, 1990, 1991, and the whole thing's going to blow because this country cannot continue to support Japan and Saudi Arabia and Kuwait and many other countries that are much wealthier than we are. We're not a wealthy country. You can't be a wealthy country when you're losing the kind of money that we're losing.
We're a debtor country.
I think the next president of the United States could have some very, very, very serious problems. It's going to be, I think, a very difficult presidency because of the problems that we're talking about right now.
And you don't want it to be Donald Trump.
I do not want it to be Donald Trump, but I do want the problems to be solved, Larry.
And what about the, are people trying to draft you to run for president up in New Hampshire?
Well, I guess a lot of people want to see this country, it's a shame what's happening. Japan, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, everybody's taking advantage of the United States. People know that if certain people are running a country, that it won't happen. I mean, when you look at Japan, not paying for the defense, we're defending Japan. We're losing billions and billions of dollars. We're fighting for AIDS help and for farmers and for this and that. And it's a shame, and the Japanese folks, who I respect greatly, but they're not treating us fairly. They're really not treating us fairly. Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, they're not paying us anything for the services we're rendering, and I think it's a disgrace. And I think people look at certain people, and maybe me, if I were in a position, this country, believe me, would not be ripped off like it is. And it is just being ripped off so badly by our so-called allies.
Yeah, so that's a pretty strong statement. So now are you saying...
I don't think it's strong, I think it's fair. And by the way, I have tremendous respect for the Japanese. I do a lot of business with the Japanese. And they smile about it too, they know it. The country is losing billions and billions of dollars to Japan, and we can't afford to lose. And it's a shame.
Are you saying this by way of indicating that you could do it better, and you do intend to run for president at some point?
No, I'm not going to run for president, but I think somebody...
Now, in 8 years, if you came back, would you have a different answer? In 4 years,
I tend to doubt
back.
It. I really tend to doubt it. But I just think that there are so many ways that this country can straighten itself out, and we're not going about those ways. Cutting farm aid is not the appropriate thing. Cutting help for the homeless and help for the poor and welfare... Certain things can be done that really will mean big dollars to this country, and those things are not being done right now.
You know, sitting here listening to this stuff, it seems to me you are dying to get to some public platform to superimpose those feelings upon the American awareness.
Well, maybe so, but I'm not. I would like to have the feelings known and let somebody else do it, and it can be done. If the ball's carried correctly, it can be done.
Yeah, but if you want something done right...
Do it yourself.
Here's the book. It's Trump, the Art of the Deal, and this is Donald Trump. Donald, thank you.
As Phil says, I don't like mincing words because what difference does it make? Again, I'm not running for office, so it doesn't matter. I can stand up here, and unlike a lot of people that I watch, I can say what I think. But that's much of a prediction. I believe that the incompetence and corruption will ultimately lead to his having to get out.
Hold on just one
second.
No.
You keep saying you're not running for office, but why don't you run for mayor of New York?
No, I wouldn't want to run for mayor of New York. I'd like to see somebody talented do that, and there's a tremendous potential in New York. New York is the great city. It's one of the great places of the world, but I really have no intention of running for mayor. Thank you.
But you definitely are a political person, whether you run for office by what everything that you say and do points in that direction.
You know what it is? I don't like being taken advantage of, okay? And when I see a Japan ripping off this country, and I'm not saying that negative to Japan. I'm saying it from my standpoint. I'm a businessman. I know how to deal, and some of you folks do too. When I see a total ripoff of this country by Japan, where they literally have no defense budget, where we have to borrow money from them, in order to get them oil and defend the Persian Gulf, where most of the oil goes to Japan and other countries, not us. We get 4% of our oil. When I see Kuwait, I mean, it's a disgrace. What's going on? So bottom line, Phil, I don't like being ripped off. And when I see something, I let people know. Unfortunately, nobody else does very much about it.
You took out a full-page ad in major U.S. newspapers last year criticizing U.S. foreign policy. What would you do differently, Donald?
I'd make our allies, forgetting about the enemies. The enemies you can't talk to so easily. I'd make our allies pay their fair share. We're a debtor nation. Something's going to happen over the next number of years with this country, because you can't keep going on losing $200 billion, and yet we let Japan come in and dump everything right into our markets and everything. It's not free trade.
This sounds like political presidential talk to me, and I know people have talked to you about whether or not you want to run. Would you ever?
Probably not, but I do get tired of seeing the country ripped off.
Why would you not?
I just don't think I really have the inclination to do it. I love what I'm doing. I really like it.
Also, it doesn't pay as well.
No, it doesn't. But, you know, I just probably wouldn't do it, Oprah. I probably wouldn't, but I do get tired of seeing what's happening with this country, and if it got so bad, I would never want to rule it out totally, because I really am tired of seeing what's happening with this country, how we're really making other people live like kings, and we're not.
You've said, though, that if you did run for president, you believe you'd win.
Well, I don't know. I think I'd win. I tell you what, I wouldn't go in to lose. I've never gone into losing my life. And if I did decide to do it, I think I'd be inclined. I would say that I would have a hell of a chance of winning, because I think people, I don't know how your audience feels, but I think people are tired of seeing the United States ripped off. And I can't promise you everything, but I can tell you one thing. This country would make one hell of a lot of money from those people that for 25 years have taken advantage. It wouldn't be the way it's been. Believe me.
Really, why are you here?
I'm here because I'm a guest of Vice President Bush, Mrs. Bush, the Mothbachers, and some others. And
as an observer?
As really an observer, and it's an interesting system, and I wanted to see really how the system works. It's the first time that I've been involved in a convention. I came down, I wanted to see how it works, and it's fascinating.
Now, how about financing? Why are you involved in politics at all?
I enjoy it. I enjoy the system. I doubt I'll ever be involved in politics beyond what I do right now, but I do enjoy the system. I find it a really beautiful thing to watch. It's a beautiful
The rumors
machine.
That you were going to run were wrong.
I was never going to run. I mean, I made the mistake of going up to New Hampshire, a place that I love, and doing a friend a favor and making a speech for him. It got tremendous publicity. It was one of my good speeches, by the way. It got tremendous publicity and tremendous crowds. And all of a sudden, everybody thought I was going to run for president. And it was very flattering and everything, but I never had any intention, and I won't be running for president.
Ten years from now, do you see Donald Trump in politics?
I don't see myself as a politician. I think I speak my mind perhaps too bluntly. I like to tell the truth. I'm not sure that a great politician can always tell the truth. I do like to tell the truth. I like to say what should be done and when it should be done, and I'm not sure that a politician's allowed to do that and get elected. And that's unfortunate. It's very unfortunate for the country, I can tell you that.
You are the most celebrated builders. You are the role model builders. I looked at that audience at that Donahue show, and those women were looking at you with awe and respect. You've become a role model in this country. The reason that your book sells, the reason that your board game sells, is because people are looking to leaders. People are looking for values, and you're one of the people. And it's no, you may dismiss it, but people are talking about, you know, Donald Trump for president. What they're really talking about is Donald Trump, show us the way.
Years.
What did your friend George Bush say when you outlined this to him?
I believe that George Bush and a lot of other people, and George Bush is a friend, but I believe that they just don't want to make waves. They don't want to broach the subject. They don't want to become, as I said before, advocates. They want to sort of just keep it the way it is.
So what chance
do
we have?
The problem that I have with that is that I don't believe you can keep it the way it is. See, I don't believe that a country can continue to lose perhaps $200 billion a year. I really don't. Now, nobody knows what's going to happen. Who knows, really? I mean, nobody, the economists, I think it's a wasted profession as far as I'm concerned, because I've never seen one that's consistently right. But nobody knows what's going to happen. But I'm, again, somebody that has a good instinct financially. I have had historically. I've followed markets. I've been going the right direction, whether it's New York real estate or stocks or whatever. I know from a common sense financial standpoint that something has to burst when a country is losing billions and billions and billions of dollars a year, and when other countries are making hundreds of billions of dollars, something is going to burst, and it's going to start here. I know it. It's a question of when. To me, it's not a question if, it's a question of when.
And before this happens, let me ask you this question. By the power invested me in WNET, I make you in charge. The Donald is running the show.
I've come a long way with you.
Would you do it?
I wouldn't want to do it. I tell you what, I do not want to do it. I love what I'm doing now. I have a certain freedom. I don't think anyone does it any better than I've done it. I mean, I haven't been around that long. If you really look, it's 10 years, it's 12 years. It's not a long period of time in terms of what I've been able to build.
But you have this big total vision of the country, the United States of Trump. I mean, would you really like to take over and run the country as you have run your organization?
I would much prefer that somebody else do it. I just don't know if the somebody else is there. I don't know if we have the kind of advocate that you need. We need major surgery. This country needs major surgery.
Are you the surgeon?
I think I do a fantastic job, but I really would prefer not doing it.
Uh-huh. Are you saying you will take it home if drafted?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I hope that somebody comes along who can be an advocate, and I think that somebody will be so popular he'll.
But
be,
you haven't seen anybody.
He or she will be the most. But I don't see it now. I wish that person were there. I don't know how much longer we have. But again, I do know one thing. It's not a question. This country is losing hundreds of billions. It's not a question if, it's a question when. It is going to happen. It's going to happen drastically. It's going to be dramatic, and it's going to be horrible. And I'll tell you the other thing. This country has always reacted best under adverse conditions, whether it's wars or anything else. That's when, unfortunately, we're going to wake up. I'd like to see the country wake up long before that.
An ominous prediction, but hope in the future. This is the 11th hour.